Mark. If you need help finding that, it's after the book of Genesis. Just keep going to the right. You'll find it there eventually. Amen. I have to warn you, I have a semi-dry sense of humor. So if I say something and you're thinking, was he serious or am I mad or sad, or assume it was a joke and just move on. And if not, you're not going to get along very well with me, unfortunately. But Mark chapter 8, I want to really be an encouragement to you. And again, it's definitely an honor to be here today. It was about a month ago I reached out to your church. Brother Monteith recommended reaching out to y'all, and I don't know the area well. And this is one of the last meetings. I called a few churches near, couldn't get anybody to return our calls, and that's just how it is sometimes on the road, amen. But we only had two meetings left for the rest of the year, and this was one of them. We just couldn't find anybody, so I do appreciate the opportunity. I think the next availability we have now is like one of the last Sundays in January. So the next 6 months are booked out solid. So God has been very good to us there, but very thankful for allowing us to be here today. But Mark chapter 8, we have about 2 hours left, so we need to get going. Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. I just want to be an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you a simple question, and I want to have you also, there toward the end, give you a simple thought to consider. The question is this: how do you see people? It's a question we need, because think about it. Based on how we see people, it determines how we treat people. So how do we see them? And I'm talking about all people, by the way. How do we see them? And by the way, God has put different people in your life than he has my life. God has put different people in your life than he has your life. We have a unique circumstance where God has given us our neighbors and our coworkers and our friends and our family. He has given us very unique groups of people that surround each and every one of us. The question we must answer today is, how do we see him? And I think we'll see that here in Mark chapter 8, if you will. The good news is, I normally preach this about an hour and a half, so we have some extra time to slow down today. Amen. Amen. Verse number 22, if you will. And don't worry, I'm also hungry, so we won't be too long. Verse number 22, notice what it says. The Bible says, "And he, that being Jesus, cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him." So just a brief run-through of context of what's going on. What we're about to read is what's known as a picture of salvation. So in other words, this is not an account of salvation, because he is about to be physically healed, but it is a picture of how salvation works. I'm thankful this morning that salvation is so simple that at the age of 7 years old, I can realize I'm a sinner on my way to hell, and I can put my faith and trust in Christ for my salvation. I'm thankful that it is that simple, and I don't have to spend the rest of my life trying to earn it. I'm very appreciative of that. But I'm also thankful today that it is also so complex that I can now spend the rest of my life studying salvation and diving into salvation and learning how exactly it works and what exactly God did for us. And so that's what we see here, was a picture of salvation. Jesus often spoke in parables, right? He told stories. Why did he do that? Well, because our earthly minds cannot understand heaven. Heaven is a totally different animal, amen? We will never, on this side of heaven, understand heavenly concepts. So Jesus gave earthly stories, earthly examples about heavenly concepts so we could better relate to and understand these heavenly concepts. So that's also what a picture of salvation is. We, on this side of heaven, will never fully understand everything God has done for us. But through these pictures of salvation, for example, Noah and the flood, there is one door. Go through the one door. Wrath is coming. God's going to close the door. Everyone inside is safe. A picture of salvation, we have a better idea how it works. So that's what we're getting into. When it says there, they bring a blind man unto him. This is important for the sake of understanding what's going on. A blind man within a picture of salvation always represents a lost man. So if you can spiritually see today, you are saved. When you are spiritually blind, you are lost. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about that. You don't have to turn there for the sake of time, because again, I'm hungry. But very simply, verse 4 says, "In whom," referring to lost people in verse 3, "in whom the God of this world lowercase g God, being Satan himself, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not.
Right.
So lost people are blinded by Satan. If you got saved later in life, you probably remember driving by churches like this on a Sunday, seeing cars in the parking lot, thinking, I can't believe they still believe that kind of stuff. They believe the Bible, and it's a bunch of fairy tales. But now one day, if you got saved, you can now see that it's all true. You can see how powerful God's word is and the importance of the church. And you see it now because you're no longer blinded by the god of this world. Because as that verse says, in whom the god of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest. In other words, unless the glorious light of the gospel of Christ should shine onto them. We're all blind until the gospel is given to us. We put our faith and trust in Christ. Now we can see. So that's the question. How do we see people? Verse 23, notice what it says. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And man, I don't know. I haven't been in Virginia very long. We got here yesterday. But this part's weird to me. I can confidently say in Texas, we don't do this part. It says, and when he has spit on his eyes, I don't know how y'all go soul winning around here. I've never done that. I have a different approach. If you want to do it biblically, though, preacher, this is it. Jesus did it. But also, Jesus took this blind man, took him away from everybody outside of town, all by themselves, took him by the hands, and spit on his eyes. That's weird to me. I say that to say this, though. God doesn't always work the way you think he should. But when God works, it always works. He's very good at what he does. He's been doing it for a long time. But it says he spit on his eyes and he asked him if he saw aught. And by the way, Jesus already knows the answer to that question. But he still wants to hear it. God knows what you're going through. He still wants to hear it. He knows if you're struggling. Trust me, he sees it. I watch my girls struggle all the time. They want a snack, but they can't open it. They come to daddy and say, can you open this? I'll watch them struggle all day long until they ask for help. I help every time. God watches. Perfect Father, he'll watch us struggle. He gives us a free will. If we don't ask for help, he won't help. But you come to the loving Father, and you talk to him about your problems. You cast your burdens upon him.
Yeah.
He'll take care of you every single time. So he asked him if he saw anything. In verse 24, a very interesting phrase. If it was me, I'd say, yes, I can see. Praise God. Jumping up and down. But he says, notice who's speaking, by the way, the blind man. We're talking about a man, as far as we can tell, born and raised blind. He woke up a month ago still blind. He woke up a week ago still blind. The doctors can't help. Medicine can't help. There's a chance he's heard of the miracle worker not too far away. But he can't get to him. A blind man will never find Jesus on his own. It takes a seeing man to bring the blind man to Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't know you, and you don't know me, but if you're saved today, you know how it all started for you.
Yeah.
One day you woke up blind just like every other day.
Yeah.
No hope. Total darkness. Until one day, somebody came by and took you by the hand and brought you to Jesus. If you're saved today, those roles have now reversed. You're the one that can see. You're the one to find the blind man to bring him to Jesus. So imagine, if you will, this blind man. Blind every day, total darkness. Finally, somebody comes by and knocks on his door and says, hey, Jesus is in town, let's go. Now imagine, everywhere Jesus goes, there's multitudes. There's crowds surrounding him. People that can see are struggling to get close to him.
Yeah.
If you're blind, you don't have a chance. But But they brought him. Think of all the people there to see what Jesus was going to do next, and they're there for themselves, and they want to see the miracle. They want to see what is he going to feed 5,000 again? What's he going to do? But only a small handful of people brought somebody with them. How many churches there are full of people there to see what the pastor's going to do next? Oh, I wonder what the choir special's going to be. Oh, I wonder what God's going to do today. Oh, we're there to see and to witness. But very few people bring someone with them. Notice what the blind man says. Touched by Jesus, he says the first two words, I see. That's salvation right there. I see. But it doesn't just say, I see. He says, I see men as trees walking. That's an interesting phrase. Here, y'all have something called trees. Texas, we have some. Y'all probably call them bushes. But we have trees in Texas. Go a little bit west, they are bushes. But in our area, they're half the size of these probably. But surely, at Sharon Baptist Church, we desire to grow. Because when you grow, people are being saved, lives are being changed, God's work is being done. It's a good thing. Healthy things grow. So surely, since we desire to grow, and we have a desire to reach this world, surely we've gone out, and I've seen tracts, and I've seen different things y'all have, and surely y'all have gone, and y'all have asked pastor to get tracts or whatever it is, and y'all have gone to all these trees out here, all around the property. Surely you've gone to every single tree and given them a tract. Surely, we've gone to tree after tree after tree after tree and said, hey, we're out over here. We're at Sharon Baptist Church, and we'd love to see you next Sunday, next Wednesday night. Just come on by. We'd love to see. Surely, we've done that. Y'all come to the property far more than I do, hopefully. How many trees are on the property? Anybody know? No idea. What about where you live, your neighborhood? You've been there for years. How many trees in your neighborhood? No idea. If you have a big enough yard, how many are in your yard? No idea. We know they're there. I see them. I know we have trees. On the way back today, we're going to see trees. But can I be honest with you today? I don't care about them. I don't talk to them. I don't give them tracts. Have you ever gone to a tree in your backyard, a tree that you got to watch, born and raised in the backyard? You got to watch it grow up your whole life. Have you ever gone to one of those trees and said, hey, tree, our church is a praying church. Is there anything we can pray with you about, tree? Now, here's the thing. If you're sane this morning, the answer is no. You don't talk to trees. Those are my two rules in life. Don't spit on people. Don't talk to trees. I usually do well. Depends on the area. But very simply, I don't talk to trees. That's a waste of time. Here's my question, very simply, I want us to think about this morning. Why do we treat lost people the same way we do trees? We don't talk to them either. We don't give them tracts either. In our neighborhood, we see them all the time. We have friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers today that we know, based on their own testimony, they're not going to heaven. But we don't talk to them. How do we see people? I can be honest with you, our problem usually, too often we see men as trees walking. We don't care about them. Hey, at least I'm saved. At least I'm going to heaven. What about them? What about them? We have friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers we see all the time. We say nothing. Say, preacher, how do we fix that? How do we get a burden for this world? It's the last verse, and we'll be done. Verse 25. The Bible says, after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. We have a lost man. The lost man is brought to Jesus. Again, picture of salvation. So we have a blind man brought to Jesus. Jesus touches him. He's saved. He now says, I see. Today, if you're saved today, you woke up blind one day. Someone brought you to Jesus. He touched your life. You put your faith and trust in him, and now you see. If I can be honest with you today, that's where most of our spiritual lives stop. After he gets saved, he says he meant his trees walking. Let's be honest today, that's us today. We go to the store, just a bunch of trees around us. Go home, just surrounded by trees. We don't care about them. The next verse says Jesus touches him again. I know your pastor's reputation well enough to know this. Y'all do not believe you can be saved more than one time. It's a one-time event. So this time, when Jesus touches the same man, he's not touching a lost man. He is now touching a saved man. The result of that second touch is he is now fully restored and sees every man clearly. Do you know what that means? He doesn't see him as trees anymore. Paul didn't see him as trees. He wouldn't give his life for a bunch of trees. Peter didn't see him as trees. He wouldn't give his life and devote everything to a bunch of trees. Praise God today. Jesus doesn't look down and see a field of trees. Paul and others and Christians throughout the years have seen men clearly. He sees their soul and their sorrow and where they're going. It causes them to change their life to live for them. I can be honest with you today, our problem is if you're saved today, the last time you let Jesus touch you was the day you got saved. Hey, preacher, what do I do about that? I think it's as simple as you have not because you asked not. Do we think today, God being our perfect example of a heavenly Father who has adopted us and loved us, do we think today that if we come down to an altar before an almighty God and say, God, touch me again. God, give me a burden for my friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers. I see them all the time, but I don't talk to them. I don't care for them. I don't pray for them. I don't invite them to church. I gave up on them, whatever. Do we think if we say, God, give me a burden, God, let me see them the way you see them, do we think God's going to say no? He'll give it to us. Here's my warning. If you pray that today, God, give me a burden. Touch my life again. Help me see people clearly. Here's my warning. It'll change your life. Because if we can be transparent right now, today, every day, you wake up for you and your family. You go to work for you and your family. You make money for you and your family. Your whole schedule is about you and your family. You give your time and energy to you and your family. And nothing for them. If you could start seeing them clearly, it would change your life. It's a very simple question this morning. How do you see people? If we're honest today, a vast majority of us don't care about people the way we should. For a long time now, maybe you've been saved 1 year, maybe one day, maybe 50 years, I don't know. But for a long time now, you feel like you're in this world surrounded by a bunch of trees. You'll never give your life to help trees. You'll never give time to help trees. But if you could see him clearly, you'd help him. You'd be okay starting that conversation. But it starts with, how do we see him? We'll stand this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed.